Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears off and running with you here on a Wednesday, December the 23rd, 2020. 18 and a half minutes past the hour, and we have got a big show for you this morning with a big special guest coming up this morning. But before we go to our special guest, one thing I wanted to do this morning was... Well, first of all, I want to let everybody know that the Christmas holiday is obviously just days away. I hope everybody is ready and getting ready for the holiday. I also want to make mention this morning that someone very nice, very special, dropped off some no-bake cookies and a large Diet Coke. Now, that is a great breakfast any time of the year, but as we head into the holiday season, I certainly appreciate that being done more than you will ever know. So thank you, thank you, thank you to the person who did that this morning. I also want to say that we will be on the air tomorrow morning from 8 a.m. until 1 p.m. I'll be here with Glenn Coble, and we will have our annual Last Day Before Christmas live on air celebration. And those of you who have been listening for the last 7 years know what that means. So get ready for that tomorrow morning. That will continue as it always has. Now, today is a very special day in the history of Marion Radio, because on this day, December 23rd, 1940, Marion Radio went on the air. Can you believe that? 80 years ago today, December 23rd, 1940. 80 years. And there have been so many great broadcasters who have been on the air in this area in the last 80 years. And I've gotten to work with a lot of them. And they were pros. They are pros. And I think that sometimes our broadcasting history here in Marion gets overlooked. And it's a funny thing why it gets overlooked. It's because when broadcasting came into this area in the early 1940s, December 23rd, 1940, the newspaper was thought of as competition for the radio station. For news, it was really the first competition the newspaper had really ever had, certainly from the broadcast medium. And the newspaper did not do a whole lot of covering of the radio station because they considered them competition. So when people go back and try to archive things for the radio station, or archive things just in general, they usually go to the newspaper. Because for many, 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 many years, the newspaper was kind of our journal, our artifact of things that were going on in the community that you could print off and read a story about and know what's going on. Well, because the newspaper did not cover the radio station a whole lot in the early days, because they saw them as competition, there's not a whole lot in there about broadcasting in Marion in its infancy. Now, the radio station did do a great job of keeping records. They took a lot of 8x10 photos. They kept a lot of their recordings that were important, and they did that for a number of years. But in the late 1960s, when the original owner, Bob Mason, sold the station, a lot of that stuff was just thrown away. Now, this brings us to our dear friend Charlie Evers, who we lost this year, but he's still here in spirit and every other way possible. Charlie was working at the station at that point, and he realized that all this stuff going in the dumpster, all these pictures and all these recordings, was history. So Charlie got in there and saved a lot of that stuff. And a lot of that stuff has ended up at the Historical Society, and a lot of that stuff ended up with Charlie, and because of his wife Jeannie and his kids, Angie and Amy, and Kathy, I have ended up with a lot of that stuff. And through Charlie. Charlie gave me a lot of that stuff over the years, as did Madge Cooper, who I knew very well. And I would really say, if you know the history of Marion Broadcasting, the two biggest names in the history of this area probably are Madge and Charlie. I don't think there's any disputing that. When you look at it, when you look at what they did, when you look at how they were covered, when you look at their longevity, I think Madge was on for 52 years, and then she was even doing broadcast when she was 97. I covered the charity ball with her, I believe in 2007, and she was 97 years old then. And Charlie worked right up till 85. He was on the air a month before he left us. This year, he did his final show on April the 8th. So they both had very long on-air careers, but they also did a lot of stuff that people remember. Of course, Charlie had the Peanut Push, and he had Buckeye Chuck, and he had Lady Justice on the Courthouse, and the building of Evers Arena when the arena burned down over at the fairgrounds. So he had a lot of great broadcasting history. And you look at Madge, and she used to go to New York and cover Fashion Week for the local station. She was the winner of the first Franny Award, Fashion Reporters New York Award, New York. It's amazing I know that acronym, isn't it? So Madge did that, and she used to interview celebrities. I have a picture of her interviewing Fran Allison from a television series called Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, which was a big series back in those days, the 40s and 50s, and she's interviewing them. So they both did a lot of things that had staying power, and I think that's why we remember them this morning. Now, we are going to turn our attention to the phone lines here momentarily as we are on the air here this morning, and see who's on the air on the 80th anniversary of broadcasting here in Marion. Go ahead, caller.
Hi there, Ted Williams, and I want to celebrate the 80th anniversary of broadcasting with my favorite broadcast channel, WWGH 107.1 in Marion, Ohio.
Ted, it is so great to hear from you on the 80th anniversary of broadcasting here in Marion. How are you?
Well, I tell you, being 80 years old is a lot. No, I'm just teasing. I just wanted to throw that in there. Grandpa answers every now and then, but I just wanted to say to all of your Marion listeners and the surrounding communities, I want to say happy holidays.
We are in the thick of it.
Yes, we are. And, you know, just to give your listeners one last little thought, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, in spite of the COVID. But I love you guys. Hey, Scotty, I don't know when I'll get a chance to get up there. You were supposed to bring me up there so we could give our zoo light tickets away and to dress up in my Santa outfit, which I have locked up in my special Santa locker. And, No answers.
Well, we're going to get this done. I sent you a text yesterday, Ted.
Really? And I didn't get it.
I did. I know. Communication. I tell you, it's even in this day and age, 80 years into broadcasting, communication can still be problematic.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, it's a beautiful day. I understand the weather. I don't know verbatim what we're looking forward to weather-wise. But I do want to say to the Marion listeners once again, you do have the best radio station in tune right here, marking the 80th anniversary of broadcasting. And Scott Spears, you are truly number one in my book, and I hope to hear from you. And no, I didn't get the text, but you know what? It's better that I spoke to you in person.
It absolutely is. And you know what, Ted? I will be in touch with you later today, and we're going to work some things out because, you know, the holiday is not here yet.
That's right. That's right. Hey, listen, when I get on the air, live on the air there, we're going to have a great time. I want to meet some of those listeners in the Marion community. I love Marion, Ohio. And I do want to say, here's my last little my last little impression. Here we go. Dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the one I used to know. But there's no white Christmas. And we got a vaccine now. No, I'm just teasing.
Well, Ted, I want to say this before we part ways this morning, and we'll talk again later today. To have you here on the air this morning, serendipitously, on the 80th anniversary of broadcasting in Marion means a lot to me, and this was not planned because, number one, we have a big guest coming up who I think you might be aware of this morning. So to have you be the lead-in for that is great. And number two, because I have always considered you, and I've told you this in private and I've told you this on the air, they have dubbed you the golden voice for almost a decade now, and the voice is great. Nobody can deny that. But when it comes to doing interviews, when it comes to being a great radio personality with charisma and intelligence and energy and getting people behind that radio, no matter what they're doing, whatever listening device, there is nobody who's done it any better than you. So 80th anniversary of broadcasting, and Marion, you're definitely a part of it.
All righty, and would you please do me a favor? Mary Ellen Withrow, you give her a big hug and a kiss for me next time you see her.
I will do that. The man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, here on the 80th anniversary of broadcasting in Marion. Thank you, Ted.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. The legendary Ted Williams, and he has become a legend, the man who invented the viral video. How about that? With a happy holiday message, and who knows? Ted might appear before Christmas. You never know. Isn't it funny how technology is never perfect? Never perfect. And timing this morning is everything, because we've only got so much time before our first guest this morning. So it was great to hear from Ted Williams. Now, this might be our first guest coming up now. Let's take the call here. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, good morning, Scott. How you doing this morning?
Doing great. How are you?
Oh, just terrific, terrific. Hey, I hear you calling off old names that goes back a while on the radio. What do you remember, Ted Mack's Trading Post that used to be on in the sports, fishing the sports especially? Have you got anything on that? Do you know anything about that?
I do remember it. Are you talking about the person who was the sports person in broadcasting at that time?
Yeah.
You know, I think his name, and it just went off the tip of my tongue there. I spoke with him at one point. I said, yeah, he moved down to Georgia after he left Marion.
Now see his trading post. See, he had a little trading post over here by the Harding High School, the old Harding High School over here on what, Washington Street, was it? They just tore it down just recently. It had the name on it. Still had the name on it. Every time I'd go by that, I'd think about Ted Mack. I've watched him, and I can't remember what year it was. It's been way back, though.
Yeah, it's been a few years ago. I you know, I don't have a whole lot of information on it, but it was a very popular place.
Yeah, yeah. He goes way back. I can't recall. I've watched him many a time, and he was really a big sportsman in fishing. He loved to fish. I'm sure. I didn't know him personally. But I know I'd watch his show quite a bit. But Scott, this had to be back in late 50s or early 60s. Had to be, because you know, and that this place over here, Ted Mack's Trading Post, right over here by the Harding High School, it's Grant Middle School now or whatever. But his little store, a little post was right there, right in front of it. And he had sat there for years and years and years and years by himself. And I don't know what happened to him, but he's probably gone by now.
I would say so, but yeah, he was a fixture in the community, that's for sure.
I think he was along in there with Charlie Edward, I think, in that area. But I don't know what year... I remember Charlie Edward. He's been around for a long time, and a whole bunch of people knew him. I think he was associated with Charlie Lewis when he was in the radio, too. So I don't know. I hear you mention the old names of the radio here. That's what I was listening to. And I said, boy, I never hear nothing about him. But it might have been before your time, Scott.
That probably was, but I know Charlie's wife listens to the program, so if anybody would know, she would know, and I'll get an answer to that for you.
Yeah, okay, yeah. There are a lot of people out there. I would know. This one guy called in there a while ago. He said he was around 80 years old or something, or somebody. I don't know. But anyhow, I can go back farther than that, see? So a lot of these youngsters, they weren't around then, but I can go way back with the Bring Radio, but to put names on them, but I can remember the people, but not the really the names. But now, this sports guy was Max Trading Post. He sponsored all the time, and he came on, and he was the news in the sports. So if you can find anything, put it on there and see if anybody else. Or somebody else might know more about it than I do. So, okay.
I will do that. Thank you.
Merry Christmas, guys. You and your around your household. God bless everybody, and we wish everybody safe. So, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thank you very much.
Merry Christmas. All right, and as I say, we do have a big special guest coming this morning, but there were some things I wanted to do, so I let our guests know that we had some things to do before we got to them, but I can't wait for them to come on. Now, one thing I want to do here, because it is the 80th anniversary of broadcasting in Marion, there's one voice you have to hear. The man who started broadcasting in Marion was a man named Bob Mason. Now, Bob Mason was the brother of a gentleman named Frank Mason. Now, Frank Mason was the vice president of NBC Radio at the time that radio started here in Marion in 1940. So, I have a clip because Bob Mason has been gone for many years. I believe Bob passed away in the late 60s. But he is the founder of Marion Radio. All of us who got on the air over the years are only here because Bob Mason started broadcasting back on December 23rd, 1940. Now, in honor of Bob Mason, the man who started it all, we have this audio clip. It's about a minute and 10 seconds, but basically it is Bob Mason. This is the voice of Bob Mason you will hear, the founder of Marion Broadcasting. He recorded this before he died. I think sometime in the early 60s he recorded this, around the 20th anniversary of broadcasting in Marion. But it's him talking about what he thought radio should be and what broadcasting should be. So let's go and hear the voice of the founder of Marion Radio, Bob Mason.
2 o'clock, December 23rd, 1940. Before Pearl Harbor, before building of the Scioto Ordnance Plant, before Marion Engineer Depot, before Marion launched on a program of rebirth and rebuilding. 20 years ago, a new voice of progress appeared upon the scene, a voice dedicated to public service and community progress, a radio station which in the past 2 decades has become an integral part of community life, a medium of news for local as well as regional, state, national, and international events, a medium for education through public forums, through cooperation with schools, colleges, and universities, a medium for entertainment and music from grand opera to folk song, a trading post for merchandise, a sports reporter from the scenes of high school and college basketball and football. While other electronic media have emphasized rock and roll or frantic and frenzied broadcasting, it has been the unswerving policy of this station to render only such substantial and intimate service as could be obtained from no other source, even to recovery of lost pets or people.
And that was Bob Mason, the founder of Broadcasting in Marion, on what he felt this medium could do. And I think that's very prolific when you listen to it all these many years later. Obviously, that's what he thought in 1940, December 23rd, 1940, and obviously that's what he was thinking in 1960 when I believe that was recorded. So it's, I think it's very important because I wonder how much media does that today. Because I don't know if Bob Mason could have dreamed what would have happened to broadcasting. Certainly he saw television come around, but internet and everything, podcasts and YouTube and everything we have on air today, I don't know if he ever could have fathomed that it would have turned into that. But that was the voice of Bob Mason. Now, I was trying to think here if we have anything else in the history file as far as the history of Marion Radio goes. And there have just been so many great characters in the history of Marion Radio. As I said, of course, Madge and Charlie, I think, are the two that people remember the best. But Joe Ione's Neighborhood News. How big was that? People loved Joe Ione in the Neighborhood News. And there used to be a little spiel that Joe Ione did at the beginning of the Neighborhood News, brought to you by Jim Dugan's Department Store. Now, can anybody go back in the recesses of their mind and remember how Joe Ione used to introduce the Neighborhood News broadcasts for so many years here in Marion? It really stuck in people's head. And as a matter of fact, I got to know Joe Ione. Joe lived, I believe, until he was 92, and I got to know Joe, and Joe was a part of a lot of the celebrations that we had celebrating the broadcasting of Marion. And every time we would have one of these celebrations, somebody would always ask Joe to do that line, that introduction to the Neighborhood News with Joe Ione, brought to you by Jim Dugan's Department Store. I think it had something to do, like, this is Joe Ione with Neighborhood News, news brought to you by people, places, and plans, brought to you by Jim Dugan's. I believe that was pretty much the tenor of what was said, but Joe Ione, what a legend. And a newsman's newsman. The thing I remember so well about Joe was a World War II veteran, and I don't have the particulars of the story. His wife, Patty, did write it down, because Joe did not like to talk about this. But he was shot down. His plane was shot down. And he helped keep a lot of people alive who ended up in the water when the plane went down in World War II. And Joe was just what an honorable guy to be able to do that. But he never liked to talk about it. So you had to talk to Patty about that, because Joe just didn't like to talk about that, being a part of World War II. And for a long time, he would not ride airplanes because of that incident in World War II. And it's kind of interesting, because Joe went on to write for the Columbus Dispatch. And I know a lot of people have Joe Ione's articles stashed away, because of all the years he did with the Columbus Dispatch. And then you've got Marianne Michaels. Marianne Michaels, who is still with us. She's retired now. She's in retirement, happily living in retirement. But Marianne was such an interesting lady. And a lot of people remember that Marianne came from television. Marianne had worked at a station in Cincinnati. And then she had moved to Columbus, WCMH Channel 4 out of Columbus. And then Marianne came to Marion in the early 80s, I believe it was, and joined Marion Radio. And that was a big deal. Recently, I saw the newspaper article talking about Marianne leaving television to come to Marion Radio. And it was a big deal, because she was a television star. A local television star back in those days. So for her to come to broadcasting in Marion and radio was a big deal. Now, partially the reason that happened was because she lived in Marion. But she was great. And I got the chance to work with Marion for many, many years. And Marion used to do things like have the car doctor on. Somebody would come on the air and answer your mechanic questions. And she had psychics on, Kay Frain. She was the first to have Kay Frain on, if anybody remembers the psychic Kay Frain from Columbus. She was the first one to do that. She used to have people on from Columbus News back in those days, like Jimmy Crum and Jim Ganahl and Doug Adair and Mona Scott, they would come here to Marion and they would be on Marianne's program because she knew them from working with them at Channel 4. So Marianne just had a unique niche. She was a real reporter, and a few years ago, Marianne gave me some of the reports that she had kept, and she did things on suicide on television that were really well-rounded. So Marianne is a name that I think about when I think of 80 years of broadcasting in Marion. I'm trying to think of some others that are very, very important. Well, Rod Serling, you know, a lot of people know the story. Rod Serling, creator of The Twilight Zone, he did do a stint here in Marion Radio. Now, we're not really sure how long he was here. But what we do know is that he did write copy while he was here. I actually have some of the copy he wrote for, I believe it was it, there was a department store, Sutton and Leitner. Rod Serling, can you believe this? The man who went on to do The Twilight Zone used to write commercials for the department store Sutton and Leitner here in Marion. And he was in those commercials because if you look at the commercials, he writes himself in them. So I don't know if any of those still exist on audio tape, but Rod Serling used to be one of the voices in the Sutton and Leitner commercials with Madge Cooper. Those scripts are so interesting, and it just has dialogue between Rod and Madge talking about Sutton and Leitner. So you've got Rod Serling. Dave Kaler, who a lot of people remember from WBNS television, Dave Kaler started in Marion, went on the air first in Marion. He was a student in Upper Sandusky at the Upper Sandusky High School, and WMRN used to have a kids show, high school show. I think it was called The Reporter. And Dave Kaler came down here from Upper because he was a part of the journalism class in Upper, and they would air their shows in Marion on the radio. And the first person who ever put him on the air, he always said, was Madge Cooper. And I was there a few years ago when they got back together. And so you got Dave Kaler as a part of the history of Marion radio. And boy, I'm trying to think of some of the others because there are so many. You know, Art Martin, I don't think he was ever on the air, but he was a manager at WMRN, station manager for so many years. A lot of people in the area will remember the name Art Martin. And who else am I? Who am I forgetting? Now, you guys have listened to Marion broadcast for 80 years now. What names am I leaving out here who were big parts of the history of Marion Broadcasting, which, by the way, we are celebrating this morning, 80 years of that, December 23rd, 1980. Now, here's two bits of trivia that I'll give you that most people don't know about Marion broadcast history. Number one, when the station went on the air, a lot of people think it was 1490, and it was for a long time, but the first day they went on the air, back December 23rd, 1940, they were not 1490 on the dial. They were 1500. They were 1500. I don't know how long it lasted. Maybe a year, maybe a couple years. But until a bigger station came about, they were 1500 on the dial. And then a bigger station came in, and the FCC said, you've got to change your spot on the dial, because we have now given this frequency to a bigger station. So they just backed up 10 and ended up at 1490. But the original signal in Marion was 1500. When they went on the air back in 1940, it was 1500 on the dial. A lot of people don't know that. And the other thing about the history of Marion radio that people don't know is the first thing 80 years ago that ever went over the airwave was a song. And the song was, I'm going to screw the title up. It was a famous song back in that era. Well, it had already gotten old by the time 1940 came about, but it was a well-known song. And I believe of Jeannie and the Light Brown Hair, I believe was the name of the song. That was the first thing heard over the air when broadcasting went on the air in Marion in 1940. Now, the reason for that was they did not have what was called an ASCAP license. And an ASCAP license allowed you to play all kinds of music. And they didn't have that. So you had to play songs that were in the public domain, that had no copyright, or the copyright had expired. And the copyright had expired on, I believe, in Genie in the Light Brown Hair. So that was the first thing that went over the airwaves 80 years ago today when the broadcast medium started in Marion, Ohio. But a whole lot of people have participated over the years. A whole lot of guests have come through the area. It's really something to look back on. And I hope one day, because there is a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of audio tape. There's a lot of pictures. There's a lot of people who can still tell the history. I hope it's done one day because it's worth telling. It's a great story. And we're 80 years in now, and we're still here. We're still on the air, and we're still talking. And that has really been one of the hallmarks of radio in Marion. You know, music is music, and people like music, and there's nothing wrong with it. But as Bob Mason said, one of the great things about this medium is relaying information and talking to you at home and being able to tell you things about your community that you might not hear anywhere else, and being able to do it instantaneously. You know, that's the one advantage broadcast has always had over newspaper. If it goes to the newspaper, you have to wait for it to be printed and delivered to your house. If somebody would call in here right now with a news story, it goes on the air right now. It's instantaneous, and that's what broadcasting is. So we thank people like Bob Mason, who got the station off and running. And another interesting story, which I heard from Bob Mason's daughter, Virginia, who passed away a few years ago. You know, the station was not a success in the early days. A matter of fact, he used to have to mortgage the furniture in his house to make payroll sometimes. Virginia told me those stories. So it took a long time for broadcasting to become profitable in Marion. It doesn't happen overnight. But you know what keeps these stations on the air locally? Community support. It's the listeners, it's the local businesses that keep them on the air. And if you want local content, the truth of the matter is that if you support local stations, if you support local media, they will stay on the air. And if they're not supported, they won't. That's just how it goes. So we hope local media will be around forever, and it continues to be around today, obviously. But what we have to remember is that it has survived 80 years. 80 years. And you can look at a lot of communities right now who have no local presence anymore. And a lot of them at one time did have a local presence. But time has passed, and that local presence has went away. Now, again, we do have a special guest coming up here. We'll probably go to them at 9:15 because I've eaten a lot of time up this morning talking about the broadcast history of Marion. But I wanted to do that this morning because it's important to talk about this. And again, does anybody have a memory to share of broadcast media here in Marion? Who's your favorite broadcaster of the past 80 years? What do you remember happening? There are so many events that happened with broadcasting here locally. Did you ever have somebody who, a son or a daughter or a niece or a nephew who was at the county fair and was on the air with the people broadcasting from the county fair? Did you get up and listen to school closings and school delays? That used to be one of the biggest things in radio because you couldn't get it anywhere else. And for the longest time, even Columbus Media did not cover the Marion school closings and delays. That's just a recent thing. So that was huge for a long time. Who used to tell you about school closings and delays? I know Charlie Evers did for many, many years. Do you remember that? Do you remember Joe Ione? Of course you remember Charlie. He was with us here for many, many years. Madge Cooper. Does anybody remember Rod Serling being around, or Dave Kaler, or Marianne Michaels? Any of these really giants in broadcasting? Because I do want to say this. You can have airwaves. You can certainly have airwaves, but if you don't have people on them who are interesting and engaging and people want to listen to, people aren't going to be around very long. The stations aren't going to last forever if you've got nobody on who people want to listen to. So this is important to remember. So that's why, yes, we thank Bob Mason for getting it on the air, but we've also got to thank all those other people who kept it on the air. Because Bob Mason obviously had an ear and an eye for talent. Because had there not been people on the air people wanted to listen to, it wouldn't have been around. It just wouldn't have worked that way. And I think back to the 40s, I mean, it was really 1941 to put a woman on the radio. You know, that's a little revolutionary in those days. Marion Radio was on before Pearl Harbor was attacked. And it's been on during 9/11. It's been on during the pandemic. It's been on through World War II. It's been on through the Korean War, the Vietnam War. It's just been on through a lot of big things. The assassination of President Kennedy, the resignation of President Nixon. It's just been here. It's been a constant. And I think that's a really great thing. And again, if anybody has any memories or just anything you want to say, phone lines are open before we go to our special guest in hour number two this morning, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you have anything to say about the broadcasting history of Marion as here we are, the 80th anniversary of the broadcasting of the history of, it's just the 80th anniversary. Let's call it that. The 80th anniversary of broadcasting in Marion started December 23rd, 1940. And I'm so excited when we come back at 9:15, we should have our big guest. And I do want to thank the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, for calling in. He certainly was in the holiday mood this morning. And that is a lot of fun. I think over the years, what has happened is a lot of these people who have been on the air have become like family to the listeners. And that's a trick. It's a trick to become like family. And I know the best ones in the group did that. And people know who the best ones were. So here we are. Oh, and people like Bob Bender. I think about Bob Bender, who worked in Marion Radio. Now, there also, you know, right there with Joe Ione was a great, great newsman. And I believe Bob went on to work in Columbus, Ohio television. He was so, so good. Bob Bender was a great personality on radio and a great newsman. He knew his stuff. He knew what was going on in town. And there were a lot of other names. Cecil Ayler, who used to maintain the bridge over in Prospect, is named for Cecil Ayler. The Cecil Ayler Bridge. And I remember when I first started in radio, Cecil used to call every morning, usually between 7 and 8 o'clock in the morning, and he would talk about how much rain had fallen, or how much the it's called a river, I guess, the river over in Prospect had risen. Cecil would call, and he would say, nothing last night, or he would call in, and he would give these measurements, and he used to hang off that bridge and in Prospect, and when they redid that bridge, I should say, the fact that they named it the Cecil Ayler Bridge was certainly a very nice thing to do, and certainly a very apt thing to do, because he deserved it. He spent more time on that bridge than anybody. So I remember Cecil Ayler very well. There were a lot of country programs. Back then, they called it country and western programs on the air in the early days. Bob Mason used to say that the Chuck Wagon Pals, do you remember that name, the Chuck Wagon Pals, used to keep the station on the air because they created a lot of revenue. You know, in the early days of radio, there were live studio audiences here in Marion for performance shows like that. And when the Chuck Wagon Pals performed, people used to come. And that was a very, very, very big deal. So they certainly need to be mentioned, because I think they were a big part. And when they, I don't know if it was they stopped performing or they went on to something else. There was a, I think it was called, what was the program called? But it was a country program that continued on because it was so popular. I believe it aired on Saturday night, and it had a lot to do with a lot of the businesses in Marion, like the factories of that era were a big part of that. So the Jamboree, it was called the Country Jamboree. That's what it was, the name of it was. I used to have a copy of the theme song of the Country Jamboree. That was a real interesting piece of radio history, because it really spoke to what radio was in those days and the type of theme songs that you would get. So if you're just tuning in, what we're talking about here this morning is the 80th anniversary of Broadcast in Marion, which went on the air December 23rd, 1940. Broadcasting started in Marion when the first radio station in the area went on the air December 23rd, 1940, and here we are December 23rd, 2020, 80 years later. 80 years, isn't that amazing? And this has not been given a lot of coverage because of the pandemic, of course, of 2020, and a lot of the other things like the election of President Harding, the 100th anniversary of that. But we do not want to leave out our broadcasting history, and we certainly are not going to leave that out this morning here on WWGH Radio. All right, we're coming up on the break here. We're going to come back in 15 minutes, and I think we're going to have our special guest, and no better guest to have on this special occasion than the guest we're going to have very shortly. Stay tuned.
107.1 FM, LP Marion, Ohio, your place for holiday fun. For legendary talk show host Dick Cavett reading 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Before Christmas, when all through the house